The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So good afternoon, Docs.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here again. And of course, you know, almost the end of the month. Mm-hmm. So we'll have some exciting things coming up for April. Today, we are going to be discussing epilepsy.
All right.
And, you know, I know a lot of listeners may not be aware of what epilepsy is. Mm-hmm. So I decided, let's talk about it. Let's bring awareness to it. And let's talk about how we can manage patients that are going through a seizure. You know, you may see somebody convulsing, etc. So we'll have some tips and tricks on how to manage some of these patients that you may see. And today I have again with me Dr. Mike from the Doctor's Journal, who will be joining us today, and we will be discussing epilepsy. So we're just going to start off by, what is epilepsy and what's the difference between epilepsy and a seizure?
Good question. So epilepsy, in simple terms, is abnormal electrical impulses firing in the brain. This would happen between neurons, or commonly termed as nerves. And when we're looking at the difference between epilepsy and seizure, the common definition is seizure is usually a one-time event, whereas if you have more than one seizure, you can be classified as having epilepsy. So one seizure more than 24 hours apart is usually termed epilepsy.
So epilepsy is just a condition that characterizes more than one seizure.
Yeah.
Right. So some people may have a seizure, but they may not have epilepsy.
Exactly.
Right. And of course, we want to encourage our listeners to call in with any questions that you may have. Yes, we're talking epilepsy, but we're going to answer any of your medical questions.
Let me give out those numbers: 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065. And our question many may ask is, if one is having, well, you said the difference between an epilepsy and a seizure, but what is the, how do you know the difference?
Right. So basically, epilepsy is the term that is used to classify more than one seizure. A seizure is just a seizure, while epilepsy is more than one seizure.
All right.
Right. So it's basically a condition. Right. So what I would say is that a lot of people think, when they think of seizures, they think of this, you know, tonic-clonic, this, you know, somebody convulsing, etc. But what they don't know is that seizures come in many different forms. And there are different types of seizures depending on your age group as well. Because you have, you know, childhood seizures, you have seizures that are onset in the adulthood years. So you want to tell us what people may see when they see somebody having a seizure.
So, yeah, so seizures, right, we have different terminologies. Some of the laymen may say fits, convulsions, and then, well, we have seizure, and then we have epilepsy. But there are many different features in terms of the manifestation of a seizure. So that can become very complex, but seizures can range from just staring into space, right? That is something called an absence seizure. This tends to happen more in the younger population. And then we could go to the extreme of what we call a generalized tonic-clonic seizure, which just means the whole body is shaking vigorously back and forth, and the breathing can also become restricted. And it results in a situation where after the seizure, the person is unresponsive. This is what we term as the post-ictal phase or the post-seizure phase. And they are unresponsive, and you probably can't arouse them or awake them. And this could last up to 15 minutes and even longer in more severe seizures.
Exactly. And I know a lot of parents tend to get very concerned when, you know, your child has a seizure, etc. For example, in babies, there's something called febrile seizures. And this is when, you know, your baby has a very high fever, and this is followed by the baby having a seizure. Usually, you know, it actually kind of, you know, dissipates on its own. But of course, it's always best to have your baby or your child checked out by a pediatrician. So when we're talking epilepsy or seizures, what are the most common causes or what are risk factors that people should look out for when, you know, addressing epilepsy?
Yeah, so there are many different causes. One of them is what we call idiopathic, where we don't know the cause. Mm-hmm. That is at the bottom of the list. And other causes would be electrolyte abnormalities. So things like if the sodium in the blood is too low, mm-hmm. right? We have things like severe dehydration. We have drugs, so mm-hmm. drug use, drug abuse. We have things like alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. We also even have things like any abnormal structure in the brain, such as a tumor, mm-hmm. whether it be swelling, whether it be an abscess or an infection. We have different types of infections.
So trauma, any type of brain injury can mm-hmm. lead to this neurological deficit in the brain causing these seizures. Mm-hmm. And of course, we can't forget genetic factors as well, mm-hmm. because a family history of epilepsy can mean that you are also predisposed to epilepsy.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Taylor was saying previously, there are certain triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So some people may be triggered by flashing or strobing lights. Some people may be triggered by loud music.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may be triggered by certain foods.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually present with this aura. So some people usually know when they are going to get a seizure,
mm-hmm.
or usually know when a seizure is coming on and what to do. And this is usually after you go to your doctor, you're diagnosed, and they pick up on what the triggers are, etc. So, you know, once you experience a seizure, it is always imperative that you go and get yourself checked out.
Mm-hmm.
They will put you on certain tests, for example, an EEG. They will do a full history and examination mm-hmm. to make sure or rule out any other causes like we were talking about, brain injury, tumors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the main things that we want to look out for when, you know, we're diagnosing somebody with epilepsy or diagnosing somebody with a seizure.
How come you always see like the tongue out?
Yeah. So when you have the generalized seizure,
mm.
where the whole, so in essence, is activated maximally at that point. So imagine doing a workout, for example, a
mm-hmm.
full body workout, right? And everything is just going off at the same time. So you're clenching up, every single muscle in your body is clenching.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be where the mouth is actually held open or held shut tight. So there's the risk for biting the tongue,
right?
Because now you have no control over your body.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes go up into the head and all these different type of things, or eye rolling.
Yeah.
You could actually pass stool on yourself. You could pass urine on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some of the telltale signs. Even the muscles for the diaphragm,
mm-hmm.
you now have no control over that. So after they are exhausted, they may not be able to breathe properly. These are some, you know, signs that are very risky.
Yeah. Something that also looks familiar, some could be similar, like a panic attack. I know that's something totally,
mm-hmm.
totally different, but there's a panic attack, the seizure, the epilepsy. Mm-hmm. I mean, telling the difference in all of them and knowing what to do.
Yeah.
So I would say usually, you know, with panic attacks, there's usually somewhat of a trigger. Like in epilepsy, there's a trigger as well. But with seizures, you tend to have no control over your body, like Dr. Taylor was saying. You generally have control over your body. You generally have control over your surroundings, etc. People with seizures or people that are having a seizure, they don't have control over their environment. They don't have control over what is going on with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them may even experience this exhaustion right after. You know, they may just actually fall asleep. They may not even know what is going on. With panic attacks, you're usually aware of mm-hmm. what is going on.
I remember going to school with this guy and he used to have blackouts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would just blackout just like that. And what is that?
Right.
Thing.
So that's another thing that you look out for in a person that is predisposed to seizures. Mm-hmm. So some people may actually get a blackout before they get a seizure. Mm-hmm. And blackouts can actually be a symptom of a certain type of seizure as well. Mm-hmm. So like we were mentioning before, there are different seizures. You know, the list can go mm-hmm. on. It's mm-hmm. very long. But the one that most people are accustomed to is the generalized tonic-clonic seizures, you know, yeah. the one where you see people convulsing, etc. And that is what people term as a seizure. Mm-hmm. But there are so many different types of seizures because yeah. it's really just this neurological or electrical activity in the brain mm-hmm. that is making you unaware of certain things at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the other thing too, in that specific type of seizure, you know, have no ability to control your tone. So if you are standing up, mm-hmm. you will be on the ground and you'll be falling. You'll fall and you'll actually have these movements, these jerky movements. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the telltale signs as well of this specific type. But remember, we have the seizures, you know, your hand alone could be involved, mm-hmm. you know, you have partial seizures, but these ones are not as severe. But the partial can become a generalized as well,
yeah.
too.
Mm. And then seizures can range from mild to very severe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is dependent on a time frame of a seizure. Mm-hmm. For example, if a seizure lasts more than 5 minutes, then we're knowing that this is going to end up in some kind of severe deficit or neurological deficit to this person. Mm-hmm. And then you're going into something called status epilepticus, which is mm-hmm. basically an emergency mm-hmm. when it comes to seizures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these patients could have multiple seizures back to back with no rest in between, because usually what would keep you alive is the rest, because the rest period is where the diaphragm is no longer restricted and now you could breathe. But if you are having seizures back to back, your oxygen saturation in the blood mm-hmm. will go down low, and now you get what we call hypoxia, and meaning lack of oxygen to the brain, to all your vital organs. Mm-hmm. And this could be resulting in permanent brain damage or permanent injury to any of the organ systems.
Yes, and that's why it's very important when you identify somebody with a seizure, there are certain steps or precautions that you have to take. And of course, we will mention these later on in the show. Mm. So, like we were talking about before, the causes could be numerous. It can be genetic, it could be brain injury, head trauma. Anything that can cause trauma to the head can cause seizures to occur, because essentially, you're causing damage to the brain and the electrical activity in the brain is becoming disrupted. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about diagnosing epilepsy or diagnosing a seizure, of course, for the diagnosis to occur, a problem must first be seen. Mm-hmm. So somebody may come in with a seizure, they're having a first-time seizure, mm-hmm. or what is usually the case in kids, you know, to diagnose something like absence seizures, they're not paying attention in class, or, you know, the teacher says that they're spaced out a lot of the time. And then you take the child to a child development specialist and they are diagnosed with something called absence seizures, because, you know, that is usually what happens in childhood. So, I mean, diagnosing epilepsy, it is a long process and it requires a lot of attention in terms of detail, because you're going to have to take a detailed history of this person. You're going to do a detailed examination, neurological examination as well. And then, of course, imaging may come as well in terms of MRIs or CT scans. You want to rule out, like we said before, any type of brain injury, any type of tumor, anything in the brain that can be causing these seizures. And then we put them on something called an EEG.
Yeah, EEG or electroencephalogram. It's essentially a device where we plant some electrodes onto the brain, meaning the skull, and we actually measure the frequencies of certain waves. I'm sure people may have heard things like gamma waves, beta waves, theta waves, etc. So in epilepsy, sometimes you have a spike in one or more of these waves, which could say that there is an abnormal electrical activity occurring when it's not supposed to occur.
Mm-hmm.
What about taking a CT scan? Is that kind of CT scan be, you know?
Yeah, so usually some people may get away with a first-time seizure without extensive investigation. Mm-hmm. However, definitely, once you have two seizures, they usually do a full rigorous investigation, which includes imaging of the brain, which can be CT or MRI, depending on the specific clinical situation. And the aim is to look for anything that would be structurally abnormal. So whether it be a tumor, whether it be evidence of a stroke or a bleed, you know, or any mass occupying lesion or infection or abscess, these things are what we look for on those imaging.
Right. So let me just take a little break and we'll come right back. Of course, LSA Healthcare Services Limited is a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, right? Hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towels and jumbo towel paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitization. All right, contact LSA Healthcare at 675-43466. That's 675-43466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. All right, LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. And lean into a healthier life with GNC Total Lean, where actual science meets tasty flavors to make your wellness journey fun, delicious, and way more convenient. GNC Total Lean is a complete brand of weight management supplements, total lean meal replacements, and snacks. Not only can the high-quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they're also great solutions for living an overall healthier lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarkets, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit at GNC on Instagram for more information. GNC Live Well. We shall return with your lunchtime, Doctor. Keep it locked on to Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangeet 106.1. Right, we're talking epilepsy today. We do have a question here. Is someone born with epilepsy? Can people be born with epilepsy? Or is it a condition that can be generated over a period of time as you get older?
Right. So, of course, we were saying there are genetic factors that can predispose you. So, if a family member does have epilepsy, there is a higher likelihood that you may have epilepsy as well. Some people just develop it over time as well. Like we said, you know, there are external factors that can lead to epilepsy, like brain injuries, etc. So, of course, throughout your life, you can develop it if you have had a brain injury or trauma to the head. Things like that can cause epilepsy. But there is a genetic component. Yeah. So, of course, if a family member has epilepsy, your likelihood of getting epilepsy is a lot higher.
Yeah, there actually are some rare conditions and situations where you can actually be born with it, meaning when you are delivered, you know, you start to have seizures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are rare cases.
Well, how does one deal with a baby with epilepsy? That is, you know.
Yeah.
Right. So, of course, being a mother and, you know, having a baby with epilepsy, it is going to be something that is very strenuous on both you and the child, as well as other family members that are surrounding you. So the main thing is to get support from your pediatrician, from a childcare specialist, from somebody who knows how to deal with epilepsy, with somebody who has experience dealing with kids with epilepsy, because you can't do it alone. You're going to need that support. You're going to need tips on how to deal with the child that is getting the seizure, etc. And of course, we were mentioning before that there are some babies who are not predisposed to epilepsy, but do get a seizure from having a very high fever, etc. And this can cause or raise an alarm in some parents. And of course, if this does occur, it is essential to take the child to the doctor. It's essential to take the child to, you know, the hospital where he or she can get proper medical attention, because it may not be something that is very complicated, but it is always better to be safe than be sorry. Yes. So if your child does experience any type of seizure-like activity, it is important or imperative to take them to the physician. And of course, we want to encourage people to call in or send their messages, send their WhatsApps, and let us know any of your medical questions, and we will answer them.
All right. Of course, those numbers are 627-3223, 625-225-7306, 1065. Our question here, how do you tell somebody who has a seizures or is epileptic to stop doing things like working or driving? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, that is a very interesting question, because most patients that are diagnosed with epilepsy, they will be treated with anti-epileptic medications. And this can control their seizures, this can control their triggers, etc. So usually they will be able to perform daily tasks without problems. But when it comes to very, you know, very high-risk tasks like driving, you know, you're going to have to take a lot of precautions.
Yeah, so like you're not supposed to drive without being seizure-free for at least 6 months, some cases a year. When you're dealing with heavy-duty vehicles, we're looking at a year. And technically, you're not really supposed to be driving heavy-duty.
Yes.
Let's take a call. Yes, hello?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Hello. Okay, I'm just calling to find out, is there anywhere or any cure for dry gangrene?
Dry gangrene.
Okay, listen off here.
So that's an excellent question. Now, usually dry gangrene, or what we refer to as mummification, all that means is that the limb or the digit or the respective area has been dead for quite a while, which we term as necrosis, and the tissue is dead. Now, in this specific case, the tissue is usually not infected. So what tends to happen is that this piece of tissue or digit or limb actually dries up and falls off itself in most cases. In terms of cure, I don't think that there is a cure because the tissue is dead already. It's like saying that you are going to revitalize the tissue, or you are going to bring it back to life.
I'm here Sunday at Faith Assembly Aruka. Stay tuned to W107 FM. Jumping in a
bag. Of course, it's not as complicated as gangrene, which is very severe, and it's something that needs to be taken very heavily and should be seen by a doctor.
Yeah, because the wet gangrene, now two things. One, it suggests infection, and there is the ability for spreading. Meaning, let's say it's in your toe, you have wet gangrene. This could go to all the rest of the digits in the toe, and then it could go up to the foot, up to the leg, and up to the pelvis if you leave it alone. I've seen cases where patients come with the big toe alone, wet gangrene, extended up onto the hip. And now you have to have a hemipelvectomy where they take off half your hip and the leg, because they have waited too long to make that decision.
Yes. So any type of infection, especially if you have comorbidities like diabetes, high blood pressure, anything like that, you know, it should not be taken lightly, and it should be treated by a medical doctor. So, you know, things like that should not be taken lightly, because it can become complicated very quickly.
All right, folks, remember we're answering all your medical questions today. I say good afternoon to the doctors. You can also be born normal and get a virus that can destroy the young brain and cause electric short charge. This was confirmed by the USA. The virus, bacteria, was found in the rye fields in the USA in 1860. It causes convolutions. Doctors were baffled until they got the source of the bacteria.
It causes convulsions.
So this is a known cause of seizures. When we said infections, remember, we have bacteria, we have viral. So they have something called viral encephalitis. this can cause seizures. Mm. Yeah, it's a known...
It's a known fact that...
Yeah, well documented.
Yeah, once you have any type of brain infection, anything in the brain mm-hmm. can lead to seizures. Any yeah. abnormal activity in the brain can lead yeah. you to have any type of seizures. For example, herpes, viral encephalitis, mm-hmm. things like that. It will tend to, you mm-hmm. know, disrupt the electrical activity of the brain. So... That yeah. is a known cause.
Very good on that yeah. messenger.
So what really is, was the, in terms of the cure and the treatment, mm-hmm. I know it will depends on the severity of your seizure, your epilepsy.
Yeah.
What really is the, you know?
So what I would say is usually some people have one seizure, some people, and this is a rare case, some people, because I have seen it, you know, you can have one seizure and you're usually not placed on medication, mm-hmm. especially if the seizure is not severe. Right. But like Dr. Taylor was saying, if you come in with a second time seizure, we're going to work you up extensively, mm-hmm. and they're placed on anti-epileptic medication, right? And these are medications that are usually lifelong in some cases. Some patients, after a certain period of time of being seizure-free, may be weaned off of medication. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times, you know, anti-epileptic medications are used to prevent these seizures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the most important thing. You want to prevent seizures. Because the reality is, with every seizure you have, mm-hmm. you have destruction of brain cells. Simple mm-hmm. as that.
Okay.
So you want to limit the amount of seizures you have in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the option for weaning off of medication in a very well-compliant patient who is not having frequent seizures.
All right, so I got a good question is, how do you strengthen the brain then? What's some good brain food? Are these fish oil and all these things, do they work?
In terms of direct cause and effect, we don't have data for that. However, mm-hmm. I would still say anything in terms of having a balanced diet, mm-hmm. having foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids, antioxidants, and polyunsaturated fats. These things are good for brain health.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that is probably one of the best things you could do in terms of lifestyle.
Exactly. Because lifestyle management in managing somebody with epilepsy is also very important. Like we said, some people may have triggers that can be... you know, akin to foods.
Mm-hmm.
So most epilepsy patients, we often involve some type of lifestyle management. You know, there are studies that show a ketogenic mm-hmm. diet mm-hmm. can actually be beneficial in some of these patients. And other lifestyle changes, for example, getting enough sleep, avoiding yeah. alcohol use, avoiding recreational drug use, you know, managing stress, and following their consistent medication regime, these things tend to help prevent seizures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of patients, stress can be a trigger for them as well.
Yeah.
In addition to other things, stress can be a main trigger for them. So stress control is very important in somebody that has been diagnosed with epilepsy.
All right. So somebody said, I worked with a colleague who suffered from serious bouts of epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
and he was told to avoid eating pork. Mm. Is this a contributing factor to epilepsy?
Well, maybe in this specific case,
that was his trigger.
Right. So maybe in this specific case, like I told you, they do take an extensive history and do a full examination. And maybe in his case, that was the trigger that they found every single time he had a seizure.
Yeah.
So maybe pork was his trigger. We don't know. Some people, you know, certain meat, certain foods can be their triggers. So there's no actual evidence that I know of right now that says that eating pork can lead to epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe in this specific case, that was his trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we want to talk about some safety precautions, like we were talking about, you know, driving, etc. With people with epilepsy, you know, they need to take certain safety precautions to prevent injury, especially if they are going to get a seizure, etc. They want to avoid anything that poses a high risk of injury. For example, swimming alone, you know, for example, swimming alone and getting a seizure while you're swimming, it's going to be very dangerous.
Yeah.
And some people actually wear medical alert bracelets. Mm-hmm. So it's important for you to identify that you have epilepsy if you're going on a flight, if you are going anywhere alone.
Yeah.
So people that will be aware that you are an epileptic patient and how to deal with you accordingly.
What about these smartwatches they have now? Could those, you know?
That is a very good question. Yeah. I'm not sure if they have an app to detect or alert someone if they have
it. Seizure is coming on, you know?
Wow, you
so,
know.
I don't think any of these smartwatches actually, you know, detect seizure activities. I know some of them detect heart activities, but you can't depend on a watch to tell you that, you know, you're having a heart attack, etc. It's not something that you should depend on.
At least not yet.
Yeah, at least not yet. At least not in
That would be nice, though.
Yeah, it would be.
It might come soon.
Things are going. I was on a plane once, and well, I don't know whether it was a seizure, epilepsy, or a panic attack that this guy was having, but everybody was trying to hold him down, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah.
It was on a plane. So in terms of if somebody is on a plane and is getting, you know, one of those seizures or something, what is the best thing to do?
So that sounds like he was having a generalized tonic-clonic seizure, so the one that we are used to seeing in everyday life, right? So, of course, first of all, it's important to stay calm.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have the person, you know, having the seizure and you are not calm yourself, because then you will not know how to approach this situation properly. The second thing is to ensure the safety of the person. Ensure that there's nothing around or in the environment that can harm them or harm you, because they cannot control their limbs, they cannot control their body. So anything that is around them that poses a threat to them or you should be moved away immediately. Another thing to do is time the seizure. It's important or imperative for the patient, the person that is looking at the patient, to time the seizure, because like we said, after the seizure goes over a certain amount of minutes, usually 5 minutes, then it becomes very severe and it becomes an emergency. And like we said, you want to protect the person. So if the person is on the ground already, you know, gently guide the person to the ground if they are standing or sitting, or cushion their heads with a soft object and, you know, put your hands under their head to prevent any type of head injury, because their entire body is going to be moving. You're going to have to help them, you know, help them control their own body. But restraining them is not really something that we recommend, because they cannot control their body. And if you restrain them in such a way, you can cause injury to the person. Yeah. And then you want to turn them on their side, right? Once the person is on the ground, you want to gently turn them onto their side and you want to clear their airway. You want to ensure that nothing is in their airway, and you want to ensure that they are not choking on their saliva or their vomit, because that can cause injury to them, that can cause lung injury. And you want to ensure that their airway is open and allow any of the fluids in their mouth to drain out, because like we were saying, they can start vomiting during a seizure, they can have a lot of saliva in their mouth, they can be drooling during a seizure. You don't want this to go into the lungs, you want it to drain out of the mouth. But contrary to popular belief, you do not put anything in their mouth.
No spoon
or anything like that.
Okay.
Because what can happen is that this can cause injury to their jaw or to their teeth. They have no control over their mouth, and if they're biting down on something that is metal, it will cause a lot of injuries. So you want seizure to run its course without any interference. And like we said before, timing the seizure or timing the duration of the seizure is imperative. You want to note any changes in their behavior or their movements. And most seizures usually last for a few seconds to minutes. But if the seizure lasts longer than 5 minutes, or if multiple seizures occur without recovery in between, you need to seek medical attention for this patient, right? And of course, it's important to stay with the person even after the seizure is finished, once, you know, they need to get their medical attention, etc. So it's important that you stay with the person, because they are not going to be in a proper state after the seizure has run its course as well.
All right, so somebody that lives with somebody who has a epilepsy or a seizure, where can they go to learn like all these things, or is it just trial and error, you learn as it goes along?
So That is one part of it too. But usually there are seizure clinics.
Okay.
Right? So like, for example, Montova has a seizure clinic. So there are seizure clinics. Once you have a seizure, mm-hmm. you can go to that clinic and they would monitor you specifically for seizures. Mm. And the more you learn about your seizures, your triggers, the frequency, and your adherence to medication, now things can be tweaked, things can be adjusted, because you're actually allowed one, maybe two seizures a month without being alarmed, right? This is for somebody who is well compliant and, you know, they are in control of their seizures, right? So not every time you have a seizure, that means you go to the hospital, right? Because now we want to be cognizant of different things. So essentially, there is the option moving forward to actually wean medication. Sometimes you may be taking three different drugs to control the seizures. And with time, once we see that, okay, you had one seizure in the last 3 months, well, let's take off this medication or reduce this dose. But this can only happen if you are taking your drugs as prescribed. And this is why it's so important to actually follow the doctor's advice so that you could actually become better. You know, because there are people who have been on seizure meds and then, you know, after a few years, they need none. Mm-hmm. These things have happened. But if you don't follow the prescribed recommendations, you will never know. Because what happened, you stop the medication too soon. Well, we see in the hospital within a week because you've had a seizure. Mm-hmm. And the seizure is because you are non-compliant with the medication. That is how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, let's take a short break and we come back. Once again, folks, lean into a healthier life with GNC Total Lean, where actual science tastes tasty flavors to make your wellness journey fun, delicious, and way more convenient. GNC Total Lean is a complete brand of weight management supplements, Total Lean meal replacements and snacks. Not only can high quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they're also great solutions for living an overall healthier lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarkets, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit at GNCTT on Instagram for more information. GNC, live well. And LSA Healthcare Services Limited is a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years of experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo towel paper dispensers, sanitization dispensers, and janitorial cleaning and fogging sanitation. So call them now at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Of course, visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook and IG and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. Once again, we have Dr. Brittany Dean and Dr. Taylor here. 627-3223, 625-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us at 3061065. Any of your medical questions. And of course, we continue our talk on epilepsy. All right, we do have a call coming in. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, I had a son, right? He had epilepsy. He was on Epilim antigranal, but he had seizures ever so often, sometimes 5-6 for the day and every single day. And he lived with us for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent, it is very challenging to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, you're seeing the getting the seizures, but you just can't do anything for them besides comfort them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So these parents need to have a lot of patience with these special children, even the adults.
Yes.
To whoever have the epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
who is the caretaker of them, they need to have a lot of patience. Because I did this for 15 years, and I never regretted it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah,
thanks for that insight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yes. So, like that, in that case with the child with epilepsy, now there are things that you have to make sure that, you know, you do have, like, any home around them,
yes.
that kind of thing, like sharp objects, all that sort of thing,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I've had patients when I worked in pediatrics that would come in with epilepsy. I had one in status epilepticus, and it is very sad because, you know you can't do anything after that point, after the injury has gone to the brain, etc. And it's a very sad ordeal to go through something like that as a parent, as a doctor taking care of these kids, you know? And epilepsy is not something that should be taken lightly, like the caller said. Some children may be on certain medications and they will still get these seizures, and even upping the dose will not help certain people. And, you know, unfortunately, there are not the advancements are not there to help certain people who are suffering with these seizures daily like this as yet. But hopefully, you know, with medical advancements, we are going to get to that point where we can help these patients.
And you know, to add to that, right, the thing when it comes to the medication that is so important and crucial is that when you are not adherent to one drug, right, and for example, you need to switch to another drug, it actually becomes less efficient at working because essentially the brain now regulates. So that is why it's so important to actually stick to whatever you are taking, because when you have to switch medications, you know, or you start and stop, you're actually doing yourself a disservice.
Yes. So compliance, especially with something like epilepsy, is so important because there are ramifications if you do not take your medication as prescribed. And that is with every single disease that you are diagnosed with. But something like epilepsy, the seizures can have so many complications. It can lead to numerous brain injuries, and your brain is your center for everything that you do. So that is most important right now, you know. And like the caller said, being patient with a child with epilepsy is so important because they cannot control that, and they are going to need as much support as possible when going through something like that. Because I mean, you are dealing with them having the seizure, but imagine having the seizure. Their body is not able to handle that, and they can be so small, and all these things that are going through them that they can't control, it's something that is a bit heartbreaking, you know? So it's very strenuous, but of course, like she said, she never regretted it, and it's something that, you know, you need to not take lightly. Your children, especially children with epilepsy, they need a lot of support, they need a lot of care, and they need a lot of patience.
All right. Can one suffer epilepsy after a stroke?
Ah, yeah. That is actually one of the causes of epilepsy. So now you have a fixed condition in the brain that predisposes you to have abnormal electrical activity, which means you would probably be placed on anti-seizure medication maybe for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So it's a very complex disease. Not a lot of people, you know, are aware of it, but I hope that we spread a little bit of awareness today on how to approach somebody with a seizure or a generalized tonic-clonic seizure, the ones that you actually do see, you know? So I hope a lot of people have taken away, you know, a bit of how to deal with these patients.
And just to touch back on that stroke, right? So if you have a bleed or the hemorrhagic stroke, seizures are way more common in them as opposed to the clot. So if you have the bleed, you can have seizures quite easily, and it may even put you on anti-seizure medication before you have a seizure. But in the other case, if you have a clot, we would only do anti-seizure meds if you have a seizure after having a clot. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody says, a pleasant good afternoon listening to your interesting program and knowledgeable one. Keep up the very good work. Safe and have a blessed weekend, guys.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All right, 5 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You listen to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Dean and Dr. Taylor. 627-322-3625-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us any questions at 3061065. Of course, we're also on Sangeep 106.1 and Sky 99.5. You could message your questions there and feel free to forward to us. Of course, even though we're talking epilepsy, we do take some of your other concerns as well. You mentioned like cold. Can someone who spends some time like in the cold, could that trigger your epilepsy as well? Like taking a trip out there to the cold and the snow?
Well, remember, a lot of people have different triggers for their epilepsy.
Yeah.
So if you know being in a cold environment is a trigger for you, I would not suggest taking a trip to a cold country, you know, because then, of course, you will have, you know, seizures or etc. But of course, there are some people that can't avoid, for example, work, etc.
Yeah.
And it is important and imperative that you visit your doctor. You are placed on your meds, and like we said, there are certain duration or time periods that you need to be seizure free before doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is how they will allow you to, you know, go or enter somewhere that has a trigger for you, right? But what I would say is always avoid your triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Always try to avoid any of your triggers. For example, flashing lights is a very big trigger for some people with epilepsies, and that's why you see that, you know, that disclaimer before certain movies or before certain events that, you know, it may trigger epileptic seizures.
Okay.
Yeah, so like Kanye West video, all of the lights. Yeah.
Okay. But what about in your sleep? Can somebody, let's say somebody is in their sleep and you get an epileptic seizure and you're alone, you know, what could happen there? You know,
anything? That is actually, it's a very dangerous, you know, thing to happen. And that is why it's important, like we said before, to always have somebody that knows, you know, that you are around, and always take your meds, etc. But there are known cases where people have had seizures in their sleep and have passed away. So that is actually a very concerning matter, and it's important, you know, if you do have epilepsy, at least have a roommate or somebody in that building with you. But some people may not always have that luxury, you know?
And, you know, to add to that, especially in diabetics, if you are potentially taking too much insulin or not eating while taking insulin, sugar can go low, you start to feel drowsy, and you could actually have a seizure as a result of that.
Yes.
Too. So that is something to know as well, too.
So I'm just thinking about, like, if there's a pilot, then you have a...
I don't think you can be a pilot if you have...
Even if you have one case of a seizure.
Or an astronaut.
I
don't think... I think they go through your medical history extensively if you're doing something like being a pilot or being an astronaut or being a boat
deep
captain.
Deep sea diver.
So a lot of high-risk jobs, they will go through your medical history extensively.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Right. Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5. We have a minute. I've got a couple seconds again. As you wrap up, somebody says here, I'm a retired person, but I remember... as a child playing cricket back in the days, this friend got a seizure, and we would use a soursop leaf for the person to inhale.
Wow.
Well, I've never heard of that one, but I mean, maybe that gave him some bit of calming after the seizure. I hope he did well. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, don't put anything in their mouths, you know, but I don't think inhaling, you know, something that may calm them or soothe them.
Yes, so that seizure, make sure the area is free, call for help, turn them on the left side, make sure nothing is in their mouth, and time the seizure.
Yes, nice, and let the seizure run its course. Of course, if it's more than 5 minutes, you'd need medical attention. Yes.
All right, folks, so that's our show for this week.
Yes, so your health is your wealth, and take care of yourself, take care of your kids, take care of those surrounding you, and Happy Easter.
Happy Easter,
right?
Easter,
yes,
everyone.
Easter is this weekend. So happy Easter. Enjoy your Easter vacation and make sure it's a lovely, healthy one.
All right, beautiful. You've been listening, of course, to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Brittany and Dr. Taylor. We say thank you very much for listening. Sky 99.5, Sankey 106.1, and Freedom 106.5. Do enjoy the rest of your day and, of course, your weekend.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.